Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bouncing Back, the Personal Resilience Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I am your host, Joanna. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bouncing Back, our personal resilience podcast. I'm your host, Joanna, and today, on today's topic, we are going to be chatting about adaptability, and we are going to be focusing on personal achievement through adaptability and resilience. Now, I know that sounds a bit vague right now, but we'll dive into all of that soon. But before that, I'd love to introduce our guest today, Michelle Sands. Michelle has a long history of executive leadership, coaching, and business development. For over 20 years, Michelle has been dedicated to helping and inspiring others to take action and design a life and career that they love. Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course, it's our pleasure. Now, before we start, I'd love if you could tell us a bit more about how you found yourself in this line of work.
Oh, my goodness. So talking about adaptability and being resilient, I found myself in this line of work because I had gone through a divorce. And I had a very young son, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had been working with seniors, actually, in the recreation department and helping build activities and things like that. And then when we split up, I decided to do a lot of exploration in personal growth, self-development. I took a lot of courses, and through that process, I got into coaching, executive coaching, working with adults and youth in developing coaching programs and curriculums. And that was it for me. It was just, you know, a total love of recognizing the value of what having a coach can mean for somebody when they want to achieve something special. So it's just been something I've been doing even longer than 20 years now. And that journey, that pathway was and still will always be about personal growth, development, lifelong learning. It's just something I do.
Yeah. And I guess, and like you said, you went through a divorce and then it led you to do this. That's resilience in itself as well, and a form of resilience. So it's great that you get to be here and share your journey with us as well. So to get to know you a bit more before we begin all the nitty gritty of today, we've got some get to know you questions in a section we call Have You Met Michelle? So our first question for you today is, what is your favorite book?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have tons of favorite books. So it depends. Right now I'm reading Jim Quick's Limitless. And it's an amazing book. It's about, you know, improving your memory, speed reading. I love that. I will say one of my favorite novels is I've got two, Secret Life of Bees and what's the other one? The other one is The Glass Castle. Really love that book.
Amazing. And are you into more non-fictional or fictional books, would you say?
Oh, boy. So I would say right now, non-fictional. Yeah. I have always been an avid reader. I used to have two or three books on the go, and I got a pretty full schedule. So right now, my non-fiction is what I'm focusing on.
Amazing. And I'm the same. I used to be such a big reader and I always used to be looking for my next book. But, you know, as you get busier, you have less time to read. So I normally just have like one book that I've like got out that I know I want to read. And then it takes me a while to get through it, but I love reading. It's so fun.
Yeah, I think it's such a great thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And you also when you like talk to people, you get book recommendations. And I find that that's the way I've been finding all my recent reads as well. People have been recommending things to me, or like social media, people are like, oh, this is a really good line from a book. And then I go Google it and I'm like, oh, wow, this looks really interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. And our next question for you here is there a movie that you have recently enjoyed?
Oh, boy. I haven't really watched a whole lot of movies that recently. I know I want to go see the Bob Marley one when it comes out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I don't have a movie, but I have been watching Narcos on Netflix too.
Okay, I've heard of it. I haven't watched it myself, but the Bob Marley movie's out here in Australia. I think it came out like a week or so ago.
Oh, no. Okay. So it's coming here.
Yeah, so it should be soon, but I've heard good things and it sounds good.
Good. Good. I can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome. So we've got a couple more questions here for you. My next one is, are you listening to any podcasts at the moment?
Yep. So I listened to Dr. Mindy Peltz. She wrote Fast Like a Girl. So I've adopted a intermittent fasting lifestyle. So I love listening to her. Stephen Bartlett's another one that I listen to, and Nicole Lappin. There's quite a few.
Amazing. And next one here is, do you have a role model? Now, when I ask this question, I feel like I should preface that it can be someone that's not famous. It could be someone in your life that you just know.
Oh, yeah. So I did see that question and I thought, I will say my mom.
Yeah.
She's my best friend. She is 85 and we have such an amazing relationship. We always have. Sure, I yelled and screamed at her a lot when I was a teenager. And she has, she's done so many incredible things for me, with me, and just that ability to be able to, she immigrated from Canada. Are from Holland to Canada, and having to learn a whole new language, still be grammatically correct, which I think in this day and age is pretty amazing. She's an amazing person. I love her.
Yeah. And speaking of like resilience, I feel like mums are so resilient. My mum's a migrant too. So am I. And it's just so amazing. Like, obviously, yes, when you're teenagers, you yell and scream at them and you're a bit hard to handle, which I know I have been. But ultimately, they're just always there for you and they're always so inspiring and they've got your back. And it's just so amazing to see what they do for you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing those with us. This brings us now to what we're all here for, which is our main interview. So our first question for you is, given your background in executive leadership and coaching, could you define adaptability in personal development?
Yeah, that is such an amazing question, really, because you know, you can get the dictionary definition. And, you know, it's actually, for me, it's about a practice. It's about a willingness to let go. It's about you being able to, I call it a dance. So I love dancing. I've done ballroom dancing. And, you know, there's always a leader and there's a follower. And if you tend to lead a lot, you're missing out on an opportunity to learn another way to do something. And that for me is what being adaptable is. It's situations that might not be going the way you think they are. How are you going to react? Do you want to adapt? So when I say willingness for me is key in absolutely everything. Because if you're not willing to adapt, then you're not adaptable.
Yeah. And you mentioned this idea of letting go. So what does that kind of mean in the context of adaptability and personal development?
Yeah. So, you know, you might be moving along in your career or life or relationships, whatever that is for you. And you've got a fixed point of view about how it's going to look. and what's going to happen. And all of a sudden something changes or changes have happened. Maybe you get a new manager. Maybe you have, maybe something's happened in a relationship. And that fixed point of view about how it was supposed to look now is looking very different. And the more you hang on for the way it should look, the harder it is going to be adaptable, to be resilient. So when I say let go, it's letting go of the expectations that we have, that you might have about what things are going to look like. It's being open to another possibility. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to let go of some of your expectations. It just means that you need to be unattached to the result. So I know that's kind of, that's deep. Letting go is a process. And, you know, I think of, you know, all the times that we worry about something and we hang on, we're stressed, we can feel it in our body. And the moment you have where it's like, whatever that is, you've just handed it over or let it go or give it up, that's that release that you can feel. It's like you're stuck in a fixed way of being and you can't get out. The moment you let go, so many things open up.
Yeah. And I guess sometimes we hold on to things because they're familiar and they feel comfortable. And obviously, we don't want to move into a place of discomfort or where we might be challenged. So I guess, is that where, you know, personal development lies, when we are able to face those fears and those like challenges?
Yeah, I think that's one thing for sure. When I think of personal development, that's an individual, that's something that each individual is going to want to be able to figure out what is personal development. For me, it's that I'm happy. You know, I start with that. It's waking up every day, excited about what I'm working on, who I get to interact with on a regular basis. So if you're developing yourself personally, you know, feeling happy to me is one of the first go-tos. That's something that I would always, and I do, I do say to my clients, I mean, wouldn't you rather be happy? And that can feel really elusive. And how do we be happy? So personally developing yourself, creating strategies or a discipline for what that looks like. So maybe it's waking up early in the morning, meditating, listening to some uplifting podcasts, you know, people that you aspire to. Maybe it's getting up and listening to your favorite musician, dancing, you know, some of those things that help you identify what it is that you really want. That for me is personal development. Is like, what do I want? What do I need to do to get there? And who can help me?
Yeah. And how do we know when something is holding us back and we need to let go of that so we can find better opportunities, whether that be in our career or personal life?
Oh, such a great question. So I'm going to speak from my own perspective, like how I know when I haven't let go, or when I know I'm hanging on to something that isn't working. I feel a lot of self-righteous indignation towards something or somebody. I'm stuck in being right about how I feel about the certain situation. And I can tell I want to control things. So I want to take over. I want to tell everybody else why they're not doing it right. And the moment I start to do that, I can feel it. I can feel it in my body. I can feel, you know, it's anger, it's frustration. Typically, it's some kind of negative energy that doesn't let you move forward because you're so convinced that the way you think it should be is right. And it doesn't mean that you have to let go of being right about it. It just means that it's not getting you anywhere. What value is it to you to feel stressed out about something when you could potentially create more opportunities for yourself and somebody else to contribute?
Yeah. And how do you go about doing that?
Again, it's a practice. So I, you know, for me, it's not about perfection, because I can find myself in a situation, I'm going along, I feel aligned, I feel like everything's great. And then somebody says something or I notice something and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Again, is this happening again? If I didn't have my morning routine and my morning practice of meditating, taking care of my mind, taking care of my body, I think it would be a lot harder to identify those moments that keep you stuck and frustrated or not able to let go of a perspective or a point of view that's holding you back. All those practices, for me, it sets the tone for the day.
Yeah, definitely. And in your experience, how do individuals like typically react to significant changes in their life?
I would say for the most part that when you say significant changes, it's very stressful. We're caught up in it shouldn't look like this. It shouldn't feel this way. Why are they changing? Why is this, the why is a big question. And in my experience, there are certain, I would say, personality types that tend to get stuck more in not wanting to change because they have a very fixed way of doing things, that which makes them really great at what they do if they're that detail oriented, or they feel they need that structure. It may be very difficult for them to actually shift and change, because what I've recognized is that for some people, it has them feel like they're not doing a good job or they're not contributing. And so they're going to resist that change because it's making them be something different and do something different. Then I work with a lot of people, and I would say for myself, I fall under this category a bit myself, is I tend to jump into things and then change is like swirling around me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, then I'm like, okay, what did I just do? Why am I doing this? And then I look at, okay, is this really the change? Like, do I have control over this? Do I have a say? And I would say for most people, when change happens, they feel like it's happening to them. You know what I mean? It's happening to them. So they lose their power. They're no longer able to say something to themselves to help them get to the next step.
Oh, yeah, I feel that is 100% true. And there's this saying that a lot of people feel like it's happening to them and not for them. And we see change as like this bad thing that's happening to us. And it's like, oh, why do we deserve this? What did we do to have this happen to us? Like, I thought I was a good person. I don't deserve to go through this. But then often change is something that is needed to get you to a better place. If you think about like a lot of things in like your life, for example, going from high school to university, that is a change and it is scary, but it gets you from point A to point B. It gets you from being in this one place to a place where you can start your career, start, you know, figuring out what you like and start studying that kind of stuff. So a lot of the changes I feel like that we've gone through in our life have been scary, but they've been for the better. And I feel like a lot of the time you can't see that until you're sort of at the other side and you've experienced the change.
Well, and you make a really good point, because, you know, there's transition every single day. I mean, you get out of bed, right? So you're getting out of bed, you're moving into your day. If you're practicing and wanting to be disciplined with that, your awareness of those changes make it a lot easier when you have significant change. So, you know, I'm going to share a story that, my own experience, in the last little while. You know, I've been working with a bunch of people, and for quite some time, I would say that I would consider of myself have been in a leadership role. I was developing relationships with, a significant network, And I'd been doing that for quite a while. And then all these changes started happening. And I could feel myself, I identified with who I was being when I was doing that. And now I felt like things were being taken away from me, that I was no longer that person who was leading the way. I'm now just another person, you know, in the bigger picture. And I could feel myself resisting it. I could feel myself feeling, you know, honestly, being sucky about it. Like, oh, I don't like this. I feel like things are being taken away from me. And the moment I realized, self-talk, what am I saying? And then I caught myself saying these things over and over again. And I thought, okay, this is not being resilient. This is not, and I don't know that I would have said this is not being resilient. I probably would have been saying something like, okay, this isn't working. You're not feeling good. So what is it that you need to get right now? What are some of the things that you can notice for yourself that's going to help you move through this feeling of frustration, feeling like you're losing ground? And I had this aha moment of, what if right now, this is exactly what I need? What if right now, in this moment, I could admit that I did everything I was supposed to for that time frame, and now it's time for me to step aside, or, you know, just quietly go about doing other things, and you know, this might sound a little arrogant, but allow others to do what they're supposed to do. And honestly, the moment I did that, I could literally feel my body just relax. And then I start laughing. So I often laugh at myself, which is, you know, I can give you some strategies for that too. but really, it really is understanding that whatever your mind is thinking, your body is feeling it. So yeah. If you're uptight, if you're stressed, if parts of your body hurt, what are you thinking about? What are you saying?
Exactly. And that sort of narrative and that story that we tell ourselves is really important. And I feel like another thing that I've heard is, if you're not afraid of the change and if you're not fearful, let me put it in a better way. If you are fearful of something happening, that means you're on the cusp of something really great. Because I feel like if we continue to constantly be comfortable with what's happening around us, we're not challenging ourselves or not opening ourselves up to the potential for something else to happen, something better to happen. And I feel like adaptability comes in when we face new things and we're able to adapt to them or grow from them. And that's also where resilience comes in too.
Absolutely. You know, and as I'm hearing you, confidence is something that, you know, for my clients, especially, like, that is a huge issue for a lot of, I'm just going to say women right now. I think it's for everybody. But, you know, we all go through things in life. So no matter what you have achieved or what you have accomplished, if you want to go through a change, and it's hard to see the accomplishments that you have. And so your confidence starts to feel like it's left you, or it's like, where did that go? And that resiliency is really about going, you know what? It's okay. You know, it's okay that I might not be feeling as confident as I did, because guess what? I'm doing something I've not done before, or I'm in a different place. And I feel like we can be so hard on ourselves, on the stress that we put on ourselves to be perfect all the time. You know, I'm not confident all the time about what I'm doing. I get nervous. And yet I know for myself, if I want to accomplish something more than what I'm doing, then I do need to take uncomfortable action. And I like to change it up a little bit. I like to call it inspired action. And because I think sometimes when you push through fear, you might just get more of fear. And while there's nothing wrong with that, pushing through something isn't a really, it's not, I think that's hard on us. I think if you can get aligned, maybe meditate or dance or something, I don't know, whatever it is, do something to change the state that you're in, how you view yourself, so that you can feel inspired. I like acting from inspiration than from fear anytime.
Yeah. And I think you make such a good point, because if we're just going through life being like, okay, I just got to make it through this week, or I got to make it through this month, even though I don't really want to be doing this, like, that's no way to really do life. And I think something that inspires me sometimes, and that might help others, is just thinking to yourself, you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. And even if you're in a really bad state, or, you know, whatever's happening with you, you just have to know that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And everything that's happened has happened the exact way it's supposed to have happened. And I feel like that makes me feel comfortable sometimes, knowing that.
Yeah, we get caught up in, I know I've used the word should. And, you know, I heard somebody say years ago that should is what is not.
Mm.
And if you think about it, we're so busy shoulding on ourselves. Well, I shouldn't be tired. I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't care so much. And the more we do that, the more that we're locking that in. It's like we're now beating ourselves up instead of, you know what? I'm tired right now. Okay, no big deal. I am afraid right now. Okay. Yes, it does feel like a big deal. I won't say that it doesn't for a lot of us. Yeah. When we are stepping into something uncomfortable. The reality is, it's all the shoulds we put on our plate that make it that much harder to feel inspired to take action.
Yeah, exactly. Because often I feel like the shoulds that we put on ourselves are very perfect and they're idealized, and it's very hard to attain those shoulds. Because we've seen how something has panned out, and now we're like, oh, it should have gone that way, or they should have said that thing, and if I did that, then, you know, things would be better now. But it's because we've gone through that, we've made a mistake, potentially, we can look back and be like, okay, this is how it should have gone. And instead of applying that to the past, I feel like it's better to apply it to whatever's going to come in the future.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I wanted to ask you if you had any key strategies that, you know, you found effective that could help people cultivate adaptability.
So the first one would be, you know, if you don't have a solid morning routine, whatever time that is for you, I get up between 4 and 5 every morning. I am a morning person,
oh,
so
wow.
That's easier for me. Yeah, it starts my day. So I get up, I meditate. I might sit and have a cup of tea, I'll journal, I will read. Again, you're setting yourself up powerfully. Adaptability isn't just, I'm in a situation and I got to figure out how to get through this. It's setting yourself up for success so that whatever shows up during the day, you feel more grounded and capable. And not only that, keep practicing when you're in a situation, you know, be willing to practice new ways of listening, new ways of asking questions, catching yourself in a moment of judgment, seeing if you can stop yourself. Now, I know that sounds, it doesn't feel as tangible as say, okay, get up early and then set the tone for the day. But if you're practicing any kind of self-improvement, self-development, and you're in a conversation with somebody, or you decide, okay, I want to work on this project with these people, you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're actually going to have to try on all the things that you say that you want in order to be resilient, to be adaptable. And you've got to say yes to those things. Say yes to, I want to change. Yes, I might not know everything there is. Yes, other people can contribute.
Yeah, and I guess adaptability, like the more you've been talking, the more I'm kind of noticing that it's a lot about accepting situations and accepting certain things. And I feel like this theme of acceptance is really big here.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you think of dancing, and again, I use that analogy because my husband and I had done ballroom dancing. And I kept saying to people, if you want couples therapy, go and do some ballroom dancing, because you really have to be with the other person. And, if they're going to lead you, you have to let go of being the leader, the one who thinks that they know better, because then the moves aren't going to be smooth. You're not going to be stepping the same. And so one person might have to let go more. One person might have to lead more. And if you think of group dynamics or, relationships that you have with, significant others, your coworkers, whatever that is, it always is a dance. And if you can see it from that perspective, it allows for everybody to show up greater, because nobody's competing for one perfect spot.
Yeah, exactly. And before you mentioned this sort of idea of laughing at yourself, so I was wondering how, incorporating joy and playfulness contributes to building resilience.
Yeah. So I grew up in a family that we had a lot of fun together, but we fought too quite a bit. But we always ended up laughing or making lighter of a situation. Because we felt that, my dad had always a very positive outlook as well. And for me, I adopted that. I know as I was growing up, I love to have a good time. My motto is, if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? And some of the strategies that I use for that, because I don't know if people just wake up playful or not. I do. And thank goodness my husband doesn't get up early with me, because I could probably solve all the problems of the world, first thing in the morning, but he doesn't want to listen to me at that time in the morning. So I think being playful is, again, I'm going to say it, it's letting go. It's not being afraid of looking silly. It is about being willing to maybe look a little silly. And not worry about what people are going to say about you when they see you. And I think when you achieve a certain level in, let's say you're in your career, wherever it is, executive leadership, corporate, whatever that is, we get so hung up on looking perfect, being perfect, saying the right thing, being professional. And we just get trapped more narrow, because you're not being you. You're not authentically being playful or allowing yourself to trust your own instincts around what it means for you to enjoy something.
Yeah. And I guess, what advice do you have for someone who might feel stuck or overwhelmed by constant change? And they want to tap into, more things that are playful or fun that make life feel, better, more stable.
I would say absolutely breathe a little bit more, relax a little bit more. For people that, if people that I know that are struggling with change right now, if I said to them, everything always works out, just relax, take a deep breath, look at one thing right now, in all of the changes that you might be going through, what is one thing right now you feel that you have control over? And literally, I can see people when I have those conversations, they do take a deep breath. They are able to reflect. We don't take enough time to process, to reflect when we're going through change. Especially if we feel like it's got to go really fast. We're the ones that get to slow it down. When things come at us, that's when we're the ones that need to take time. Like I said, breathe, relax, and pick one thing you have control over, which really is yourself.
Yeah. And I guess once we do that, how do we use that sort of power?
Well, it depends on how you want to use that power, right? So from my perspective, use it for yourself, because when you're calm and you're relaxed, then you can actually offer that to somebody else. So just think about being in a room with everybody chaotically running around because this thing has to change yesterday. You know, and if you've got a room full of people that are resisting it, they don't want it to happen, you know, you're just going to get a lot of fighting, disagreements. You put one person in that room that can be calm and relaxed, you're going to start to see the shift in other people. For the most part, you become that role model. You become that person that people can say, hey, you know, how is it that you're able to be calm? Because you can't control everybody else. You can just offer a way of being yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely does. And thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. I'd love to, you know, take that and apply it more practically in our practices and habits section. So here, I'd love to ask if there's a practice that you'd recommend to deal with adaptability. Now, I know we've talked about a couple things before, but is there something that maybe you've personally used or something specific you could recommend?
Yeah, so there's, you know, it depends on what type of, you know, how you want to be adaptable, right? So it's a pretty broad term. And maybe you're somebody that feels that, how do I be adaptable at work? Okay, so if we use that as a reason or as a topic or a practice at work, being adaptable, you know, there's books that you can read. There's actually Limitless, the Jim Quick book, he's got some strategies in there on how to work through how to learn. So being adaptable is understanding what it is that you want to shift and then being able to practice it at work. So maybe it's this new change is coming and I have no idea how to do it. I'm afraid. Ask somebody for help. I listen to, so I love Tony Robbins and I love Brené Brown and Mel Robbins. Yeah. They've got some really great strategies to be able to, and again, there's all these tips and strategies that you can use. Be open, be willing, let go. Every single one of those, you have to actually practice. And you have to put yourself, maybe not put yourself in a situation, although I would say that's one way, but you find yourself in a situation where you don't want to change. Ask yourself, what is it that I could learn from this if I were to let go and not be so upset about what change means?
Yeah. And do you recommend a specific way of doing this? Like, is this something we should wake up and sort of reflect upon? Do we reflect upon it throughout our day? Do we try using journaling to sort of figure this out?
Yeah. So I like I said, I meditate. So, you know, I quiet my mind as much as you can. I journal every day. So I journal as a focus. So what do I want? What do I want to feel during the day? I don't focus on what doesn't feel good. I don't do that. And enjoy the listening to what other people are saying, what they're not saying. You know, when you go in your day and you've got this to do, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I can tell you, even today for myself and then preparing for tonight, you know, I could find myself, I'm excited. And then I'm like, oh yeah, but I got to do this and I got to do this. And then I go, you know what? Just relax. It's all good, right? It really is. And I do get off on being busy and, you know, thinking I've got so many things on the go. But really, I love, you can have ease and be busy and have a full schedule and not get caught up in having to produce all the time. Because the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that you feel good. Your body feels good and you can relax.
Yeah. And how has this sort of practice helped your perception in life of, I guess, resilience?
Oh, it's so many ways. I used to be very reactive. And, you know, and you think you have a good reason to be reactive, especially when, you know, I was going through the initial divorce and having to share my son with another woman. I mean, pretty tough. And so I knew that if I was going to continue down that path of feeling jealous, angry, bitter, that I wasn't going to be happy. And for me, it was like, if I am not happy, how can I be a good role model for my son? Because it's not what you say. It's how you're being. It's that you are actually walking your talk. You're practicing letting go. You're practicing being resilient. You know, so for me, sharing my son at 1 year old with another woman, I had to learn that other women, other people can contribute to his life and that it's meaningful. Believe me, I didn't do it overnight.
Yeah.
It didn't happen just like that. But it's those situations where I, to this day, I appreciate so much. Appreciation is huge. Being thankful that I went through that, because I feel that in this moment, my life is richer, more rewarding. And for the most part, my son was able to learn how to be adaptable living in two homes because we're figuring it all out as we go.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like appreciation really helps with letting go of things as well. When you come to appreciate something for what it is and not what it should have been or could be, then you're learning to also not only forgive, but also move on at the same time, which, you know, helps open yourself up to whatever's, you know, coming ahead.
For sure.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for that insight and also sharing your personal experiences as well. I feel like when there is a personal story attached to something, it becomes so much more relatable and we can see how people deal with this in their life as well. So I'd love to ask how you think this practice has impacted your perception in life and on resilience as well.
Honestly, I would never go back. It has changed the way I focus. It's changed the way I think about other people. I'm not as suspicious. I'm more trusting. I feel that there are a lot more opportunities because, you know, when your practice is about feeling good and being in your life instead of on the outside of it, things open up more. You're happier. I know I am. And I know that the more problems you have, the more you're doing. So are they really problems or are they opportunities? I think when we feel that there are no, I mean, I just can't imagine what it would be like, to not go for something, to not learn how to be adaptable. When life sometimes comes at you so quickly, if you don't adopt a practice, life is going to have you. You're not going to have it. And I would say that's the number one thing for me with being adaptable and resilient is that you have a say in how things come at you because you're ready, you're prepared.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's so important as well, that readiness. And also, I love how you mentioned, like, not feeling like you're on the outside of your life, but you're actually, like, living your life. You're not just, like, going through it because you have to do all these things. You have to go to work, you have to go to the gym or whatever you do, but you're actually present. And I feel like that's so important as well to being happy, because when you're present, you're accepting what you're doing and you're like, yes, I want to be doing this. I'm grateful to be here as well.
Yeah. And that's where you just said gratitude, like appreciation. you know, if you can wake up every day, I walk a lot. And so that's another form of meditation. But if you look at nature and you see, you know, all the different things it goes through, you know, trees leaving, and then in the fall, the leaves fall off. Like that's how we were meant to live. And I mean, the tree's not judging itself for losing its leaves.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You know, why as human beings, we think about these things, but we do. And if we could just take, you know, take a moment and just appreciate what we have and where we are, I think that makes it a lot easier to be adaptable, because you then you're not the only one that's, we can get so significant and so stuck in being perfect that we miss the opportunities of all being together on the same planet, worrying about the same thing sometimes, all wanting to be loved, all wanting to be accepted. To me, that's being adaptable.
Yeah. And I feel like what you mentioned before about like trees and like losing their leaves is so beautiful, because it can be like an analogy for life. Like trees, they lose their beautiful leaves and they kind of look a bit ugly. They look a bit awkward because there's nothing on them. But then, you know, they grow again and it's even more beautiful. And then, you know, comes spring eventually and everything blossoms and it's so beautiful. And you forget that you were once just this, you know, tree without leaves, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Michelle, for sharing that and like your personal experiences as well to back it up, which is always great. I love hearing people and their stories and stories of adversity, because it's so inspirational as well. And this brings us now to our last section, which is our open mic. So here, I'd love to hand it over to you just to talk about anything that you would like to. So the floor is all yours.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love the topic. I think it's such an important, resiliency is, you know, I think it's a learned. I do. I really think it's important. Some people may find it easier than others. I think I had mentioned to you, I mean, I work with women. One of my coaching practices is really to support women to create a career that they love or design a career that they love. And in order to do that, I would say focusing on what you want, appreciating what you have, and being adaptable are the three key ingredients that I use. And this is, you know, why I love the topic so much. And I feel for women in particular, because I'm a woman, I'm just going to say, I know everybody goes through it, but you know, you get to a certain stage in your life, and whether you have kids or don't have kids, you know, as you grow, there are so many things that we go through, our bodies go through naturally. That's what they're supposed to do. And if we're not feeling prepared or wanting to be able to feel that empowerment, I just feel like we're missing out on something. And I truly believe that we are all meant to be creators, to want more and to go for it. And your life is, it's a journey. You know, I don't think we're ever going to accomplish maybe all the things we want to. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, definitely. And empowerment is so important, because I don't feel like everyone gets the chance to feel empowered, because a lot of people think that it's this really far-fetched concept of being and feeling empowered and inspired and motivated all the time. Because sometimes you might look at your favorite influencer and they seem so empowered and motivated and you're like, wow, I just can't reach that level that they're on. But I feel like if you can feel empowered, you really feel like you can stand on your own and do whatever you want and need to do. And that's just such an amazing feeling.
It is really like if you're comparing yourself to somebody else, and you're stuck on that comparison, you're done. And so it's great to have influencers or people that you emulate or want a role model. I think that's important, but you know, everybody has something. Every person has gone through some kind of trial and error, some kind of challenge. They don't all look good. Nobody wakes up, you know, looking perfect, you know, whatever that's supposed to. And I think sometimes, you know, we do get caught up, and I, you know, I do not as fancy of a podcast, but I've started doing video chats with women on how to ignite your confidence and have more fun in your career, because it's unfiltered, it's unedited. Unless there's something blaring, you know, I want people to know that I make a lot of mistakes. I don't always look perfect, and I like to try. I'm not saying I don't, but you know, I think we're if you really want to be authentic, it means sharing those moments when you're struggling about something. It's not all and to me, that's part of the happiness. That is actually part of setting yourself up for success. You know, all the things that come at you that don't feel great, it's like, oh, I did that. To me, that's empowerment. It's like when you can own it all and embrace it all, there's joy in that and there's power in that, because now we really aren't the victim of life. We're the ones that are creating it. And I think you said it earlier, Joanne, about, you know, life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us.
Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like once you stop seeing yourself as the victim to all the bad things that might have happened to you, that's when you really start to see opportunities for yourself. Because if we just stay in this idea of like victimhood, we're really just, you know, dampening our own empowerment and our own, you know, power within ourselves as well.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us today. I had so much fun talking about this topic, and it's basically like a topic of life. It's so relevant. I feel like everyone can relate to this, and everyone goes through these types of things in their life where they need to adapt, where they need to learn how to let go and build resilience. So it's a really important point of conversation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, for those of us who want to find out a bit more about you or your work, where can we go?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. My website is www.regal-insights.com. And yeah, you can see all the programs that I offer there through my coaching and my courses. Those are the best places to get a hold of me. You can call me at 519-317-2546. But yeah, LinkedIn and my website's a good place to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that. And if you didn't catch that, we've got it down in the description below. But to everyone listening, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.
You have been listening to Bouncing Back, the Personal Resilience Science Insights podcast produced by the Life Management Science Labs. Listen to episodes from LMSL's 10 Life Management Perspectives on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or other podcasting apps on your smartphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it and us grow to bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website, pr.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Joanna. Thanks for tuning in.